I don't believe this. Came in off the tree, and just look at this. Well, that is unbelievable. I haven't seen that in such a long time.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Bogey or Better podcast. I'm Cameron and our co-host Dylan. What's up, buddy?
How's it going, everybody? I'm doing good. We actually, me and Carly, went and played some golf at Golden Hills today.
You're a new member.
Yeah, new member. I'm excited to be a member of a course that has real greens. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Our other course, while inexpensive, which it's not really inexpensive. Like, if you go play in the mornings, it's right up there with Golden Hills.
Yeah.
Price-wise. But the winter, that course got trashed. I mean, the tee boxes are fine, relatively. The fairways are fine, but the greens were awful.
Yeah.
So Dylan got joined up with Golden Hills, and he's convinced me. And honestly, the fact that I can walk for free makes me excited.
Yeah, because even at the other course, we still had to pay a cart fee, even if we were walking, which seems insane.
Yeah. So I'm going to definitely start dropping weight over the summer, because I work maybe 5 minutes from that golf course.
Yeah.
So I'll get to work early, finish up, go to the course, walk a quick 9, and I mean, that's the best kind of exercise, right? You can have a little fun. It's perfect. The RBC is on. The RBC yeah. Heritage. Beautiful as always. I'd like to go next year.
Yeah, I would like to go. My mom actually knows somebody who has a hookup.
Oh, cool.
And she said next year that she would get some tickets. So I'll see if I can get some tickets for you, too.
That'd be cool. My sister lives down there, so because I'd love to have multiple days so that the wives could come mm-hmm. and enjoy, and then I'd love for like Saturday with the boys kind of deal, you know, where we just go, because
they're not expensive tickets.
No, they're not. I think they were expensive when I looked, because it was the week.
Yeah, but if you get them like right when they come out,
it should be fine. Yeah, but there was, I don't know if I'd call it an incident, but Siwoo Kim was hit a beautiful putt from off the green up towards the hole, and it like shot left and rested right on the edge, and they did the cool thing where the caddy puts his shadow mm-hmm. over the ball. It's supposed to help the grass kind of fall down and helps the ball, but it didn't. So they stand around it for about well over a minute, but you can tell the ball's relatively moving, and it falls in. Now, if it were me and you, Dylan, we'd obviously call that a birdie.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
And I thought this was a huge, I thought this really helped Matt Kuchar's, his reputation. Because, were you watching it at mm-hmm. all? Did you get a chance mm-hmm. to watch him talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the last time Matt Kuchar was really talked about a lot was the whole caddy incident in Mexico.
Yeah.
And so he kind of had a relatively poor reputation. I mean, people still like him, but you hear him arguing for Siwoo Kim to the rules official. And apparently it's a weird rule when the ball's on the putting surface, that if it's sitting on the edge, even though the ball looks to be moving, that if it's within reasonable time for you to get to that ball, and then 10 seconds after that, if the ball falls in the hole, it counts as a stroke. It used to be a penalty, which was crazy to think about, that he could have gotten a one-stroke penalty for that.
Yeah, I just don't understand why the PGA does that. It's because if you're in the fairway and the ball is moving and you hit it, they're going to charge you a stroke penalty.
Right.
So why are you now changing the rule when it's on the green in the hole and it's moving, but you want them to go ahead and putt it? It just doesn't make any sense to me. There are so many types of rules like that that it's inconsistent.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like a pace of play, because that's how the rules official was trying to phrase the reasoning behind the change of rule. Like, eventually you'll have to hit the ball.
But that's so ridiculous, because Bryson took like 10 minutes one time to putt a ball.
Yeah.
The pace of play, golf has always had an issue with pace of play, and no one ever gets penalized for it.
Thankfully, he wasn't penalized. So it doesn't count as a penalty.
No, it wasn't a penalty.
It just counts as if he had struck the ball.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense at all.
He never addressed the ball with the club.
Yeah. So I guess it would count as a birdie with a one stroke penalty. I guess you could word it, but it doesn't, it's not like he would have been charged four strokes with on top of that, a one stroke penalty. But it got me thinking, there are some weird golf rules. The USGA rulebook is about 600 pages.
Yeah.
And there's some weird ones out there. One that I find very interesting, I've heard it called a couple different things, the fruit rule or the orange rule, USGA decision 23-10. If your ball is lodged in an orange or a piece of fruit, you cannot take relief without penalty. So you can't, if your ball were to rest up against it, it would be a loose impediment. You could move that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were, let's say, to, with brute force, just your ball hits a fruit right in the center and it sticks in there, to remove it, you have to take a penalty.
Yeah. I don't even know why that's in there. When is that ever going to happen?
The thing is, though, it has to have happened before.
I guess, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I don't understand why players still have to hit out of divots.
Yeah.
Because the rule is if your ball is obstructed by a man-made object, you can move it free relief.
Right.
I would classify a divot as a man-made object because someone caused that turf, a man caused that turf to have a divot.
Mm-hmm.
So I still don't understand why we're not able to take relief from divots like that. I mean, I'm going to take relief from a divot because I'm not on the PGA Tour.
This isn't us. I'm not talking about like regular people. But it's funny that there are some legit rules, and it's almost, they treat it like almost Supreme Court. Like the Golf Association made this decision for a circumstance that maybe didn't have a rule, and now that's what it is. But
I think golf is the only sport in the world where the players don't know all of the rules because there are so many. Any other sport, the players know exactly what they can do and what they cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's so crazy.
There's another one called the cactus rule that says if your ball comes to rest next to a cactus, you may wrap your arm or leg in a towel to protect yourself, but you cannot cover the cactus with a towel. That would incur a penalty.
Yeah.
But there's some weird ones. The spit rule.
Yeah, okay. I've heard of that one before.
This one makes a little bit of sense. It's just some of these are just funny that you can spit on your club face to clean it before playing a shot. But if you're using that to reduce spin, then you cannot do that. So I'm assuming that if you were to spit on your club face, you'd have to then use a towel. You couldn't just do it. Luckily, they don't see the Vaseline that's sitting on my club face. Yeah, there's some, those are like the most, egregious. There's one called the club head fell off rule. If the club head falls off during the backswing and you complete the swing but miss the ball, it does not count as a stroke. But if the club head falls off during the downswing and you complete the swing but miss the ball, it counts as a stroke.
Oh,
so as soon as you make the transition to going down and the club head falls off and you miss, then it counts as a stroke. So it's only if you were going back.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. And I just, you know, our last episode, we talked about how the PGA Tour, they're a confused group of people of what they want when it comes to the success of the business. And I just hope that, which I think this is normal. I think most average players do not take golf that seriously to try to follow rules like that, because it just, first off, a lot of that's never going to happen. But second, you don't need to listen to that because it just doesn't matter.
No, we're talking like if for people like amateurs that play, the basic rules of golf apply. But there's a basic rules, and then there's, I've never played a round where I have, like, I guess play it where it lies, in a sense where if it's in a divot, I'm going to move it.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like around some,
if it's around roots, rocks, like, anything that can damage my club, I'm going to move it.
Yeah. It's like, I'll be like, hey, I'm going to move it back a little. So it's still fair. But I mean, and I always end up touching the ball with the club head before, you know, it's just weird to think that these guys have to, when they place their club head down, it's like an inch behind the ball because they can't hit it. If as soon as they touch it, or what Abraham Answer did at the Masters, where he just nicked the sand going back.
That was insane. Like, they had to, I just don't understand why is there so much effort being put into penalizing these players. Like, they had to zoom in a lot in order to see that little bit of sand being moved from his swing.
I thought of a better idea for instead of penalizing people with strokes, because usually it's after the fact. You know, usually it's after the round has already been set. I think that they should be penalized by losing a club for the rest of the tournament. You know, and it's whatever club you were using to incur the penalty. So Abraham Answer would have lost his sand wedge for the rest. I feel like it'd be funnier that way.
It would be funnier.
Because the stroke is just so valuable. And I guess that's why. I mean, it makes sense. It's the most valuable thing in golf, so that would be what you'd be penalized. But in a more fun world, it'd be funny if, you know, Bryson did something accidentally illegal and they took his driver away.
Or what if they do it like football, where instead of retroactively adding a stroke for their next round, the first hole, they're going to play with a stroke penalty. And in that way, they still have a little more, at least they know, okay, I'm playing this hole with a stroke already, so let's try to do something special here to get away from that. You know what I mean?
I guess you could do that on anything but your Sunday round.
Yeah, that's true.
Anything on the last round.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like that, because basically, if it was found after the fact, after your round had finished, instead of incurring a penalty that day, it would be put on the first hole. So basically, you'd be hitting your second shot off the tee. And a lot of times, guys could, I think it's cool because it almost forces players to get aggressive to make a birdie.
Yeah.
Because they have an opportunity to not. But,
or just save par, you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if they could shoot a birdie to basically save par.
Mm-hmm.
and for something that it was an accident, mm-hmm. you know, or arguably, you know, could be, you know, a bad call. They could, you know, I think that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
But have you ever, this is kind of off topic, but speaking of like getting rid of clubs or something, have you ever wanted to play around where you use this spinner and it tells you what club to hit, like off the tee, you that spin it and it tells you.
Yeah.
I've wanted, cause like we've been playing so serious for probably like what, 7 months
mm-hmm.
maybe.
Yeah.
I haven't played like a, just a stupid round, mm-hmm. you know? And I probably wouldn't do that at Golden Hills. That'd be a round for Charwood.
Yeah.
But
that'd be fun.
Like just a round where got a bunch of beers. We're just, like similar when we kind of played in Charlotte, we drank a little bit, mm-hmm. but I'm like, it'd be fun to just have like a, have Adam and Tony, we'll come out, have a good time. And then we'll just have a couple holes where we're like switch clubs, yeah. you know, I don't know, just something stupid just to kind of like make it fun. Cause I mean, I enjoy playing serious and everything, but sometimes it's fun to just have a
yeah.
day where you just don't care.
Yeah. Let's plan that. Let's plan a silly golf day.
Like a silly golf day. Mm-hmm. And we can find different games. And the other thing, too, there's a lot of different games to play. Like, Lone Wolf is really mm-hmm. fun.
Yeah.
If you want to play, like, a serious but different than stroke play, that's really fun. You know, you can play. I sometimes like match play, but when you tie the hole, the point goes to the next hole, mm-hmm. makes it more valuable. That's fun. There's a lot of different games out there. Bingo Bango Bongo is yeah. super fun. Mm-hmm. And that's a game that you can play with any skill level. Because basically that game is you get a point for first one on the green, a point for closest to the pin, and a point for first one in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to you have to respect honors
yeah.
for that game. But people that aren't very good, like, you know, maybe me and you would get first one on the green,
mm-hmm.
but they have a chance to get close to the pin, you know. A lot of times Ian would pitch to the fringe.
Yeah.
So that he could putt from the fringe, get closer to the pin, then, you know, I would miss my putt, and then he would make his putt. So he'd have 2 points to my 1 point, but he'd get it, it'd take him 8 strokes, you know. So that's a fun game to play with people maybe that, not that aren't as good, but, like, it really doesn't matter how many strokes it takes you to get to the green, you yeah. know. Like, you're not penalized for if it takes you a while to get there. What matters is what you do around the greens. Mm-hmm. So that's a fun game to play. That'd probably be good for Tony.
Yeah.
Because he struggles around the greens, so that could probably help him with his putting and stuff like that. I don't know. Have you played any different kind of golf games?
Well, me, you, your dad, and Ian would play 2v2, and, like, whoever wins the hole, you get to pick one of their clubs to be out of the bag.
That's right.
Yeah. That was always fun. I think that's called a battle golf. I think that's what that is.
Yeah, because you take it out of each of their bags, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And you can't take the putter. That's the one rule.
Right, you can't take the putter, yeah.
Can't take the putter. That is a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
That's another, like, if you want to... That's fun, but, like, that would actually be... That would be fun to do, me and you versus Tony and Adam.
Yeah.
With their stroke advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And then play, like, where, you know, not as serious, but for fun. Because if you win a hole, you get to either take a club away or get your club back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they would probably take our drivers first.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, your 3-wood is just as deadly, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm. I might have to try that.
That is a good idea. We take Tony's 4-hybrid away and...
make him hit his driver.
Yeah, there's some fun ones out there. Next time we play with the guys, we should do that. And hopefully I can start walking Golden Hills in the next week or two.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Whole... 7, where it's just entirely uphill. or no, not seven, eight, hole eight after the par three. It's entirely uphill. Yes.
It's a short par four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all uphill, and it's that one's a little tough. But besides that, everything else was easy.
Because the hole nine is a par five, but it's it's not that bad.
No. It's not bad at all.
Yeah, because you actually walk downhill for most of the first nine.
Yep.
And then that one hole is literally, that hole eight is all uphill. Yeah. Yeah. Thankfully, like you said, it's a short par four. So,
but
once we do it enough, that's the thing. Like, we just never walk. I don't, I mean, you walk nine holes more than I do with, because Carly likes to do that.
Yeah. And I mean, with my new job, I mean, I'm walking.
You are walking a lot.
I'm walking all up and down the hospitals. I'm getting used to walking anyway. So,
it's, I do appreciate my foot joys more when I walk.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're great playing, you know, regular rounds, but they are the most comfortable walk and shoe. I think actually them and Asics probably have a monopoly on comfortable walking shoes. Skechers makes some nice walking shoes.
Yeah, I bought for my new job, I got some, the newest Ultra Boost Adidas. But yeah.
Which was the ones that you bought earlier that, like, you
They
hated?
Were Adidas. They were just, like, a cheaper version. They weren't the Boosts. They were some other material.
Just the Ultra something.
Yeah, I forget. They were, like, kind of like a retro look. And
oh, I got you.
But they just, they were comfortable, but it fit weird in my toe. And so it kept hurting my toenail. So
I was like, that is first world problems.
Yeah, for
on
real.
On the largest scale. I get that, though. I think Cole Haan started making golf shoes now.
Yeah, I never had good experiences with Cole Haan.
Really? I've got one pair of Cole Haans. I still have them.
Yeah.
Like 5 years old.
Huh.
So maybe that was just a good pair. I don't know. I really want G4s, though.
Oof.
At some point.
Yeah, G4s are nice.
You know, they show up at Costless every once in a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're like $100. Which,
wow. Yeah, that's G4s not bad for are, G4s, yeah.
Yeah. The tough thing is finding, like, finding anything at Costless. Unless you want small Kirkland gloves. Which is funny, because Ian wears a small in the Kirkland size.
Does he really?
They're usually a size up. Like, the one that Tony gave me is a little big. So I'd probably wear like a medium. So he got two gloves, two all leather gloves for $5.
And they're
they
nice.
Were like the, yeah,
those
they're great.
Are nice, yeah.
I mean, there's not like a ton of technology in them, but they're leather. They're all leather gloves. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are great. They get a ton more putters and wedges now.
Yeah.
Well, when Adam got his wedges for $60.
Yep.
A three-pack of wedges for $60.
Yeah. My Asher golf slides came in.
Oh, did they?
I'm super excited about those. They're very comfy.
I want to get a nice, like, golf backpack that is like a shoe holder, too.
Yeah. I have a little FootJoy shoe holder for the black ones that I have.
Yeah. If I got, like, nice Justin Thomas-style golf shoes... Basically, dress shoes.
Yeah, dress shoes for golf. Yeah,
for golf. Then I would probably do that. The FootJoys are their athletic leisure style golf shoes. So I don't really. they hold on to pollen so much though. I had to take them when I was at work. I took them out and had to use the compressed air to blow them out because that was the only way to get the pollen off. They're waterproof, so trying to scrub them out doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Because the water doesn't soak in.
Yeah.
But they are the most comfortable. That's for sure. Having comfortable golf shoes is...
Yeah, it's a must. I mean, especially if you walk occasionally, you really
need change your spikes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And don't wait too long, because it is a pain to get them out.
Yeah.
If you wait too long.
Yeah. And if you try and pry them out, which will get them out, it could damage, you know, the...
Yeah.
The cleat holder, and then you can't cleat it anymore. Yep.
What I figured out is you take so if anyone has trouble getting their cleats out with the tool, with the little wrench that you get, take a drill bit that fits perfectly into the little slots that you put the tool in and drill a little hole in there to get it a little deeper. But don't drill through your shoe, obviously. But you'll just see the plastic start to spiral out a little bit. Once you see that, stop. And then put it back in, turn it, it'll fit, and it'll turn perfectly. And that's how I got mine out.
That's actually really, I didn't even think of that. That's a really good idea. So basically you'll use like a tiny.
Like a quarter inch mm-hmm. bit, yeah.
And just basically just go down until it hits the plastic part of the mm-hmm. spike.
Yep.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Dylan's dropping knowledge out here.
Heck yeah. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Mr. DIY Dylan.
You gotta do what you gotta do, man.
I remember trying to get my cleats out when we were playing. This is when we did our first 2v2s before and we were at Golden Hills.
Oh, yeah.
And we got there early, and somebody had to go in and pay for me because I was still trying to get my cleats out. Eventually, I just used pliers and yanked them out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What would you say if you played once a week? How often would you change your cleats?
Once every, probably between 3 and 6 months.
Yeah. I think 3 months is that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
If you play less than once a week, then yeah, you could probably change them once every 6 months. But the thing is they get, as they wear down, they get softer, mm-hmm. so they don't grip as much, but it's harder for them to get out.
Yeah.
So, and the cleats aren't expensive. They're made to be disposable.
Yeah,
so.
No, they're not expensive at all. You can get a big bag of them on Amazon for like $8.
Yeah. You're better off doing that than going, you know, a while. Like, I need to change mine because we just play so much.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you swing hard and you use those cleats, mm-hmm. like, and you'll tell, like, some on your heels maybe will look almost brand new, but if you pivot a lot, you'll see it.
Yeah, half like I use my feet a lot in my golf swing.
Yeah, you do.
And so they get worn out pretty easily.
Sometimes I'll find, like, I'll flip them over and just one's gone. it'll just, you know, I'm just walking and I realize something feels weird and I look and there's one missing. I don't understand how that happens, but sometimes you spin out of your shoes. It was when I was really trying to reach for one.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
No, I don't know. but yeah, change your cleats, play some, and just have, I want to have a fun round. That's what I want to do. Not that I'm tired of playing golf, but something about a fun day of golf, because it doesn't matter. The point is that we're going to do something. Like, we're going to play a game. It just happens to involve on the
play some course. Music, not country music.
Oh, I love country music.
Good, normal music.
Me and Dylan agree on a lot of things except for, well, I mean, we agree with music on the golf course, but the type of music.
Yeah. I can't tell you how nice it is. For golf, I could go two routes. I could go like straight like hip hop and pop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or I could go like Jim Croce and like back in the 60s.
Yeah, like
and 70s. Like,
I get that. Nostalgic music almost.
Yeah. Elton John, Jim Croce, stuff that my parents listened to.
That there's a song that I feel like it may be the one you're talking about that you and Ian used to play that annoyed the heck out of me so much. Is it Operator or something?
Operator by is that Jim Croce?
I thought it was Jim Croce because I feel
it's Jim Croce.
Yeah,
that's a good song.
See, I can appreciate it now.
It's an American classic.
Yeah, no, I love country music. So, but new country's fine. I honestly don't listen to the new stuff that comes out all that often. I have been on a '90s country kick for at least a year. Like, if you come see me at work, 9 times out of 10, that's what I'm listening to.
Oh, who are you? I can't do it. I mean, it might be because when my mom would listen to country music when I was a kid, it was the most depressing, the most depressing lyrics you can ever think of. And it's just, why are we doing this right now? I don't want to be sad.
Some are sad. And that is true. The genre, but like, I'm talking like Shania Twain.
Yeah.
I'm talking Randy Travis. Joe Diffie. Oh, yeah. Rest in peace.
And it's not just the lyrics for me. It's just the overall ambiance of it. Just the vibe that it puts out. It just, I'm not, you know, I've lived in South Carolina all my life, but I do not consider myself a Southern person.
That's true. That is true. You've tried to go as far away from that as possible.
Yeah.
So yeah. I get that. And I've tried to embrace it because, well, is your mom from here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, and you have family. All my family's not from here. We are alien residents, basically. Yeah. So, but I was born and raised here. So mm-hmm. I've grown up around people and I don't know. Also, like when I would work with dad when I was young, you know, that kind of music would be around. Mm-hmm. But then he would also play like Hall & Oates. And I like some Hall & Oates, but like,
yeah, I like Hall & Oates.
He used to play some, when him and my uncle would work together, they'd play 80s and 70s and 80s. And I was like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
I like some 80s rock.
I was like, can we just listen to Baby by Justin Bieber featuring Ludacris, please?
I like some Queen.
I think I know AC/DC. One Queen song. Everyone kept asking me, like, when I was dating when I was dating Sarah, that they were like, oh.
Your wife?
Yeah, my wife. They were like, they're like, oh, you must sing Sarah Smile to her all the time. And I was like, what is that?
Smile?
Sarah Smile?
Oh, Sarah Smile. I don't know what that is.
I think it's a, that's what I said. I thought the same thing. But like everybody who was an adult, basically, mm-hmm. asked me that. It is by, there's a Boys to Men, but I think it's Hall & Oates. The first one that came up was Panic at the Disco. I know it wasn't them or him. But
I'll listen to Panic at the Disco.
I do like some Panic at the Disco. But yeah, so, and that was a Hall & Oates song. I like Rich Girl. I guess it just, I'm a mood type.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some days when I'm going to work, I need to listen to Up by Cardi B. I just have to. Like, I just have to. But then some days, like, I want to hear about, you know, drinking from Joe Diffie. It just depends. And they mix a lot, though. That's the thing. I won't have like a full day. I'll dabble over here. And then, you know, I'll break out into some Peaches by Justin Bieber.
Oh, yeah. Like the way I listen to music is insane. I think most people usually stick to a genre, I think. But I mean, yeah. I will go from Meg Thee Stallion to Jim Croce in a minute.
Sarah will tell you, I'm not a huge female rapper fan, and there's no reasoning behind it. Like, maybe it's because I can't necessarily connect with, you know, mm-hmm. what they say. But Megan Thee Stallion, I don't know what it is. Every song, banger. And DaBaby,
I love female hip-hop. I've always been a Nicki Minaj fan.
Nicki Minaj kind of annoyed me, and I think that was where...
Yeah.
My formidable years, I guess, with music. And I was just like, it's just a little too much, you know?
Lil Kim's real good. Back in the day.
Yeah. I'm a big Iggy Azalea fan when it comes to female rappers.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just kidding.
I like Iggy as a person, but I'm glad that she has stepped away from the music.
She just dropped
industry.
A song with Tyga. What are you talking about?
That was like 2 or 3 years ago.
No, I mean a new one.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Hold on, I'll pull it up for you. Yeah.
Well, I guess she's doing features, but she's not like...
Yeah, maybe. Oh, no, it's her album.
Oh.
It's an EP. It's called Sip It. Mm. So it's Iggy Azalea and Tyga.
Wonderful.
It's her post Nick Young years, I guess.
Yes.
But I mean we're off topic, but all music goes in golf, but except well for Dylan, except for country. I was playing with Mikey and them, and they were playing their like I don't know if it's alternative.
They're Gen X, so they're playing like Sheryl Crow and.
Well, and just like depressing, like not screamo. It wasn't there's a couple of them in there, but just, you know, I don't know if it's alternative. It's like
punk
early
rock.
2000s punk rock. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, if anything, let's play early 2000s hip hop. That's like,
I'm surprised Mikey wasn't playing your early 2000s hip hop. Well, that's usually his go to.
It probably, well, Ian was there, so that's probably why he didn't. But Mikey has quite a Rolodex of various genres. But yeah, no, I don't know. Recently I've gotten into going back 90s, 2000s, but all of it, you know, hip hop, pop, country. Yeah. Like I will
listen to literally any genre of music and I can find something to enjoy except for country.
I get that. And a lot of people would be like, oh, I'm going to get you there. It's not worth it. Like,
there's Florida Georgia Line. Like, there's a little bit that I would listen to of them, but I just don't consider them country. They're like a country hip hop.
They're like a country pop. Yeah.
Yeah. But like true, like actual country music, I can't.
I wonder if you'd like Sam Hunt. The guy who kind of talks throughout his song.
There's been a couple songs that are like that I don't hate, like actively hate, and like Darius Rucker. I don't mind Rucker.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's pretty much it for me. Is Darius Rucker, maybe a little Sam Hunt, but
you're not necessarily generic country, but the bass. You like it when it's a little more popified.
Mm-hmm.
And Darius Rucker's kind of like, he's his own thing.
Like a rock and roll country mixture.
He came from rock. So, I mean, he's got country lyrics with different type of music.
And most of his songs are like upbeat and happy and you know, a good song to drive to.
Yeah.
I
thought you were going to say you wanted like Mumford & Sons when you golf.
Not when I love Mumford & Sons. Mumford & Sons is one of my favorite bands, but not, I don't think, to golf.
I first saw what Mumford looked like because he was on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
His wife was hosting, and he was on there. A lot younger than... Yeah.
Who's his wife?
I have no idea. She's British.
She was hosting Saturday Night Live?
Yeah. No clue who she was either.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had like a famous wife.
Apparently. And they have kids and everything, but he kept saying that he was Mumford. I guess that's his last name. And they were asking about where the kids were, and they're like, oh, they're with the sons, which was funny. But I just assumed they were older, the way they sounded, or the way he sounded. Did you find her?
Yeah, I'm looking.
I know when I pulled it up, I was like, I don't know who this person is.
Oh, I did not know he was married to her.
What's
her
name?
That's funny. Carrie Mulligan. She is a British actress, and she's very good. She's won multiple Academy Awards and a couple of Tonys. Yeah, you know, I didn't realize that.
She's not in any Marvel movies, so I guess I've never seen her.
She's not in Fast and Furious 9. So
I haven't seen that trailer yet.
I am waiting for the day. I know it's going to happen that the Fast and Furious franchise is going to space. I don't know how, but
I thought they were going to space in 9. I thought I read that.
It doesn't look like it, but
they're going to do it though.
It's gotta. I want to see Vin Diesel in a Dodge Charger. In space.
He's going to jump from one rocket ship to another in his black Challenger as he flips the NOS.
Ugh.
And But see, I watch those movies just because they're just pure glee entertainment. They're no substance. But I've never seen anything before Fast 7.
What?
Yep.
Hold on. So you've never seen the original?
Nope.
Cameron.
Tokyo Drift, Too Fast, Too Furious.
You gotta watch them. How have you not watched them? They're great. They're so funny.
Yeah, I know. I've just never have. Like, I saw the first one I saw in the theater was, I feel like it was one of my first midnight movies. And it was maybe it was Fast 6. It might have been Fast 6. That seems more accurate. So the first, whatever, the previous five.
Really funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we should do that.
We should do that, yeah. I've never seen those. And I just, all right, hold on. Quick spoiler for, I'm going to drop a news nugget for the new Spider-Man movie. So if you don't want to hear it, turn it off. Actually, Dylan, do you want to hear it or do you not care?
What is it about?
Alfred Molina.
Who's that?
He played Doc Ock in Spider-Man 2.
Oh, he's supposed to be in it, right?
Yeah, but do you want to hear what he said? Or no?
No, I don't
want. Okay. Yeah. Well, you can turn it back on now. We never actually talked about it. I mean, it's on the news, so you'd see it, but I didn't know if we were going to talk. That movie's going to be amazing. We'll just say that.
Oh, yeah.
If everything is accurate.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And it's going to be good. There is going to be some quality films this year and next year.
And we deserve it because we went a year without pretty much anything.
Maybe one day I'll get to see James Bond. That'd be nice.
I'm excited for, because this is the last one for Daniel Craig, right?
Yep.
Like, I'm pretty sure it's been confirmed that the next James Bond is actually going to be a woman, which I'm very excited about, but I was a little disappointed that we weren't going to have Idris Elba.
That's what I said.
James Bond.
I was so excited. I mean,
that would have been pretty sweet.
It's fine. I get why they would like to explore a Bond woman. I'll still watch it. That's fine. But when the rumors were coming out that they were thinking Idris Elba, I was so excited.
Yeah, I love Idris Elba.
I would have liked it if Jason Statham was James Bond. But he's Australian, so right?
And he's so old.
Man, but he's good.
Like, he's like the same age as Daniel Craig.
I know, but he's so good. I think Idris Elba's getting up there now. He looked like it in the Suicide Squad trailer.
Oh, God, don't get me started on that.
It's going to be good. John Cena, the Peacemaker. Literally, they gave him a show, and he hasn't even... He must be fantastic.
John Cena's in Fast and Furious 9. As
are you sure Neal's he is? Brother. Did you see him?
Well, they've been talking about, you know, Dom's brother, but I haven't seen him yet, so I don't know.
I love the difference between, like, other movies, Dwayne Johnson, and Fast and Furious Dwayne Johnson. Because he's, like, 90 pounds heavier, full of steroids. Like, he is a different... if you watch him in Central Intelligence, or you watch him in literally any other movie, but compared... Remember him... Which one was the one where he broke out of his arm cast?
Yeah, that was...
Was that the last one?
That was 7. That was Furious 7.
Where he was like, I'm over this. And then just like flexes out.
Yep.
Those movies are fantastic.
Oh, they're great.
They're not... They're made for the fans. Mm-hmm. That's what they are.
Yeah.
And to be just as outrageous as ever. I saw a meme today that was like, who would win in a battle, Thanos or Vin Diesel's character in Fast and Furious? And there was a comment that said, is there family involved?
Yeah. Is there family involved? And does he get a 1970s Dodge Charger? And if he does, it's Vin Diesel all the way.
And it's strapped to a rocket.
Yep.
And he throws it in second gear and he goes to space.
Tony makes a device that he can use the Infinity Stones on the Dodge Charger. And
it's like an Infinity Gauntlet Charger.
Yep.
The two headlights are two stones. The two rear lights are stones. I mean, that would be good. Mm-hmm. Who makes... do you know what... Like, who has the property rights to Fast and Furious? Is it Sony?
I believe it's Sony. Yeah.
because if it was, it's definitely not Disney.
No, no.
Oh, Universal.
Universal, that's what it is, yeah.
So basically Disney, if you really want to think about it.
The poor man's Disney.
Poor man's Disney. Yeah, I'll probably watch the trailer soon, but...
Well, I mean, you obviously need to go back and watch all of them before you watch Furious 9.
I've already been this far. I get it. Like,
No,
I get
you
it.
Have to. You have to watch them. You have to.
Not only are they fast, but they are furious. I get it.
Because you get to see a young Paul Walker. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful man.
He is.
And it's just great. And then you get Too Fast, Too Furious, where it's just Paul Walker and Tyrese Gibson. No Vin Diesel in that one.
Why would I want to watch one without Vin Diesel?
Because you get all of Tyrese Gibson. He is the second star.
So dude, there's going to be a Fast and Furious 10. They already have already planned it.
Yeah, so they have 10 and 11. Those are the last two for their contract. And I think that's supposed to be it, but we'll see.
The last ride.
Unless, you know. I'm thinking as long as Vin Diesel keeps accumulating debt, we'll continue to get more Fast and Furious.
How?
I'm
How does
sure.
he accumulate debt?
Well, you know, you got to get like dinosaur skulls and stuff like
is
that.
Is he turning into
Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas Cage?
I don't know. He just seems, I don't know if he actually does that. He just seems like one of those guys that kind of, Dwayne Johnson says he's a diva. So I'm thinking that he probably does a lot of shopping.
Is it just me or is Dwayne Johnson going to become the next president?
I mean.
What did they say? The poll
nothing will surprise
49%
me.
49% of people said that they would
pretty
vote
much
for
half of the half of the country. American citizens. Yeah. Nothing. Anyone could become president. It wouldn't surprise me.
Was he the one thing that could bring, that could be the least divisive thing?
Yeah.
We're going to just fully go to just popular people now.
Yep. I mean, that's kind of what it is.
I would love a movie where Dwayne Johnson's character in Fast and Furious runs for president. But the side plot is that it's Shaw. Who plays Shaw? I said his name earlier when it was Hobbs and Shaw. Jason Statham. Jason Statham. Yeah. Is trying to undermine him. And that's Fast and Furious 12. Or that's Hobbs and Shaw 2. I actually started
that
movie.
That's what I want, is I want Hobbs and Shaw 2. It's really what I want.
I just want to see the scene where he gets in his like native, he gets all his native brethren with him. And they're him in that outfit, I'm sure looks fantastic. Like a Hawaiian warrior.
Oh, yeah.
But, thanks for listening to our music and movies podcast.
Yeah, this was not a golf podcast today, but, you know, sometimes you want to talk about movies and music.
Well, I haven't talked to you like this in a long time either.
Yeah.
So we had to catch up a little bit. But, yeah, so basically listen to music on the golf course. Play some games.
Just don't listen to country.
Or if you're with me, we can listen to country. But no screamo.
Especially for golf. That's just insane.
I'm not saying it has to be like peaceful. Like, I mean, I'm fine with 50 Cent, you know.
No, but like I like some rhythmic movies.
You know what's good is Pitbull before he got super popular, when he was like crunk when he was with Lil Jon. That's good Pitbull right there.
Oh man.
His song Bojangles. I don't know what he's saying. But I love Bojangles, so that's good. Ugh. That's when I found out that Pitbull was like a different artist before he was, you know, Mr. Worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
When he was just Mr. 305, that his music was good. Yeah, let's just have fun. I want to have a fun day on the golf course. We need to I'll put in the group message. See, actually, after they listen to the episode, we'll ask them because I know they do it. We get you some watermelon spritzers or something? what were you drinking on the boat?
I'm not gonna have beer. I will gladly take like a Mike's Harder lemonade.
Those are underrated.
Strawberry flavor. Well, let me tell you what you do. You get a Mike's Harder Lemonade Strawberry, and then pour out, and then you get a cup with some ice, a red Solo cup with some ice, and you pour half of that in the red Solo cup, and then you top it off with gin, and that is beautiful. Or vodka.
Yeah, I was about to say.
If you're not a gin person, vodka's fine, too.
I've had, when we were with Justin, we had gin on the golf course, and it's good. But gin's like a pool drink for me for some reason.
Gin makes me sad usually, so I try to stay away from gin.
It's the botanicals that make you sad.
But I do like vodka.
Yeah, that's it. So it's Mike's even harder. It's Mike's Too Fast, Too Furious with vodka in it.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Or we could have some John Daly's.
Remember when we had that boat day and we had the Jack Daniel's wine coolers.
Yeah, everybody was having beer, and then Dylan's floating around with his like pink Jack Daniel's wine cooler, and
it was
just
watermelon flavored, and it was delicious.
That was funny. Yeah, that's what I was saying. We need to just we'll pick something. I don't care. I'll drink whatever. I drank a couple beers the other day, and I was like, it's not my thing either.
Yeah, I don't care for beer.
I'd rather have a flavorful beer than break out like a Corona, you know, or a Blue Moon.
Yeah, like if I'm gonna have a beer, it's gonna be literally like a Bud Light Lime.
Really? See, if it was me, I'd rather have like a, not a sour. I don't like sour. You know, I like ciders a lot.
Yeah,
I like ciders.
Are fine. Yeah.
Like I don't mind going to breweries that do like craft beers and do like so they actually taste like something. But I can't do.
I guess I just don't have the palate for beer because it just
all
tastes the
same. We're not sophisticated enough.
Yeah.
You know what sucks? IPAs, okay? And all you IPA people also suck. So let's end on. It's the you guys think that we're pretentious for golf? That's a kind of snob right there.
Yeah. We haven't even scratched the surface.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll get snobby. Just you wait. Next episode, it's the snob episode. I don't know what I feel like. I feel like I was the snobbiest when we were talking about the new product lines.
Yeah. Aaron loved that.
Aaron did not like it. I thoroughly enjoyed editing that podcast. And just so everybody knows, most of that podcast was left in. I did not edit as much as they wanted me to. I took out a couple things that. A bit of a rambling. Aaron tends to talk very fast and says, didn't realize he was being recorded.
Oh, man. Well, everybody, I appreciate y'all listening to this very random episode of Bogey or Better.
Yeah.
We need a little bit of randomness every now and then.
Sometimes you just got to play music and drink on the golf course. So some episodes we're going to talk about music and movies.
Exactly.
We're cinephiles over here, okay?
So we will see y'all next week.
Yep. Enjoy.